is good to be back. After what appears to be, from the 2nd of July, 3rd of July, until, when we got back and we were straight into camp meeting at the South England Conference. It is good to be back here in Watford Town. Good to be with you. Good to see your faces. It's almost as though we have to be reintroduced again. So my name is Pastor Lawrence Johnson. My wife, Joan, across there. But we are delighted to be with you. And I believe for us, maybe that is at least overseas holidays over until maybe next year. We'll see what happens. We'll see. God is in control. As you are, or many of you are aware, we have been looking at the subject of the Holy Spirit. And in this series, we want to, let me just back up. What we have been doing is speaking about the fact that the Holy Spirit can actually be mistaken. It is very easy for one to believe that what Satan is doing is the work of the Spirit. And it's also easy to then charge to Satan the work that the Holy Spirit is doing. That is why in, our first presentation, we were looking at the title. We were discussing under the title, Mistaken Identity. And so if it is indeed a reality that you and I can mistake the working of the Holy Spirit, we need to know what are the hallmarks, what are the footprints that will help us to rightly identify the work of the Holy Spirit and not attribute his work to that of Satan or attribute Satan's work to that of the Spirit. Are we together? So we looked at one of the hallmarks is that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. And I will come back to that in a little bit. So the Holy Spirit of God, we know, is the spirit of what? Truth. The spirit of truth. Today, we want to look at the second hallmark of the Holy Spirit. The second hallmark of the Holy Spirit. And the second hallmark of the Holy Spirit is that he unites in truth. All right? So the last time we were looking at the Holy Spirit of God is the spirit of truth. This time we're going to be looking at the fact that the Holy Spirit, the other hallmark, is that he unites in truth. He unites in truth. Father, we ask that you will guide us, that only Jesus will be uplifted, truth will be declared, your name honored and glorified, and we drawn closer to you. So speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. we pray, take charge of this sanctuary. Send your angels to line the walls of this sanctuary room. And even more so, we pray that your presence will take charge of our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Holy Spirit unites in truth. I'm just mindful of the time as I begin. There is an ever-increasing influence that comes from this postmodern, post-secular world of ours that has entered the doors of our church. And that influence is to separate Jesus from truth. To separate Jesus from truth. And you might be saying to yourself, what is he talking about? But you know, it's not all truth. It's not all truth, mind you. Just those truths that are seen as hurtful and upsetting. Those truths that one may personally disagree with. Truths that are evidently seen to divide and cause arguments. Truths that throw up walls of separation. You may not particularly notice it as an open attempt to separate Jesus from truth, but you may well recall hearing at some point or some time or another expressions of distaste for doctrine. You may have heard it said, give me Jesus, not doctrine. Have you heard that one? Or I don't need doctrine, I only need Jesus. Have you heard that one? Or doctrine divides, Christ unites. Let me just say this. What we want, my brothers and sisters, is not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. While there exists false doctrines or teachings that we must be careful of, and the Bible does warn us of these things, there are doctrines, teachings that are rooted in the Bible, that though they may make us uncomfortable, though they may cause separation, though they may seem to throw up walls, in fact and truth, they are for our good. You see, our great God wants to separate us from sin. To separate us from that which is evil, and to separate sound teaching from confusion and vain philosophy. And to unite us in what Jesus himself said is not my doctrine, but his who sent me. Now, I want you to notice, that was John 7, verse 16. I want you to notice the key point that Jesus drives home in the next verse. That's John 7, verse 17. And the Bible says here, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Now, Paul, in his counsel to Timothy, warns in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 to 4, for the time is coming, and I actually believe that that time is here now, when people will not endure sound teaching. They will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. My brothers and sisters, we are now living in this time when vain philosophy, human opinions, not sound doctrine, desires to rule the day. There is a unity that is being sought. A coming together based on the elevation of experience and feeling above the sound teaching of Scripture. And this is mistakenly believed to be the working of the Holy Spirit. I hope that's clear. The last time I spoke, we looked at hallmark number one. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. Now, wherever the Holy Spirit is, the Bible tells us he will lead and guide us into some truth. You're awake. The Spirit of God will lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit of God will not lead us into that which is spurious or false. The Holy Spirit, from the last message I spoke here, cannot lie. There is one truth, and that is found in Jesus, the living word, and confirmed by the Holy Spirit in the written word. The Bible is the source, is the source of truth. As it says in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So now, the second hallmark of the Holy Spirit, hallmark number two, is that he brings unity in the truth. He unites in the truth. Unity, my brothers and sisters, brings power. Division makes us powerless and ineffective. That is why Paul, in our scripture text today, urges the church in Ephesus, and by extension to us today, to endeavor to make every effort to keep, to observe, and to maintain the unity of the Spirit that is the unity that has its origin and its source in the Holy Spirit, that unity that is generated by the Holy Spirit. You and I are encouraged to make every effort to keep and maintain the unity that comes from the Spirit. As we are in the time of the end, It is of vital importance that harmony and unity exists among us. We are now seeing with increasing intensity the world filled with storm and war and this word called variants. And so this unity, this oneness that Paul is talking about and Ellen White comments on, is not an empty, nebulous, baseless unity. It's a unity that is rooted in the teachings of God's word. You know, in these last days in which you and I are living, every form of teaching prevails. Satan knows that he has but a short time, and so he is multiplying vague and fanciful interpretations of Scripture that has many conflicting theories, and his intention and objective is to divide and to weaken and to confuse. According to Matthew 25, there are two things that you and I must have. Number one, if you're familiar with Matthew 25, the first thing that we must have is a lamp. That lamp is the Bible, God's instructions to us in this dark world in which we are living. So we need to have the lamp. And the second thing that we need to have is the oil. You know, you can have the word, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to be misguided. It is the Holy Spirit that is the spirit of truth. So we need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. So we need the lamp, which is the word of God. And we need the Holy Spirit, who is critical in guiding us in a rightful understanding of the Bible. We cannot do without the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. You cannot approach the Bible without praying for the Holy Spirit to guide you in your understanding. You cannot do this without suffering the consequences of taking the Bible in your hand and wresting the scriptures to your own detriment. In fact, in the Great Controversy, page 599 and paragraph 3, the servant of the Lord says, "The Bible should never be studied without prayer. The Holy Spirit alone can cause us to feel the importance of those things easy to be understood, or prevent us from wresting truths difficult of comprehension." So I want to say, you cannot come to the Bible and treat the Bible as some kind of literature that you can dissect and do whatever you feel you do when you're either doing English literature. When we come to the Word of God requires the presence and the help of the Holy Spirit. That is why when we open its sacred pages, what we have to do is to go on our knees before God and recognize that, "Father, though you've given me a brain, though my brain can work and operate and I can do this and that, when it comes to the Word of God, I need someone bigger and higher than myself. Else I will take the Word of God and I will wrest it to my own destruction." So it's vital. It is vital. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, depends on actually how you view it. There's a lot of talk about unity. There's a great deal of talk about unity, a great deal of talk about togetherness and oneness in the Christian world, as well as in the political, social arena. Unity has become a popular buzzword that has a particular endearing ring to it, unity. Everyone is seeking unity. It is almost like a blue light that is in a butcher's shop that attracts the flies. Unity. Religious leaders at all levels are talking about unity. They are convening conferences with spiritual leaders from all denominations across the world, convening to one place in order to seek unity. And the proposal, my brothers and sisters, is for all religions to put away doctrines that divide and unite as one in Christ alone. Does that sound good? And as they say, then and only then will all the world accept Jesus. When we unite from all denominations across the world, when we put aside those things that divide us, those doctrines and teachings, and you hear them say, put away doctrine. The one thing that matters is Jesus. Sounds good on the surface. But this, my brothers and sisters, is what is called counterfeit unity. It doesn't bear the stamp of the Holy Spirit, but of another spirit. It is important for us to realize, indeed, that God has other sheep from many other folds. Isn't that true? Yes, he does. God has people from all over the world that do not belong particularly to this denomination. And we cannot look down our nose at them and say, because they are not of us, that they are unsaved. That is nonsense. God has his people all over the place. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 16, other sheep have I, which are what? Not of this fold. But what does he say he will do? He will bring them, and there will be what? How many folds? One fold and one shepherd. Absolutely clear. So we know that in the search for unity, unity does not come as a result of putting away the teachings of the scriptures and uniting in what is called a nebulous experiential type of feeling, where Jesus as a figure is present, but his words we do not want, or we are selective in what we want to hear. When the Holy Spirit fell upon God's disciples in the upper room, you know, they emerged united in truth, that is doctrine, united in mission, united in purpose. It is the very same thing that will take place when the Spirit of God fills his people. Though there may be things in the Word of God that for us are uncomfortable, the Spirit of God will help us to embrace every word that proceeds from out of his mouth. That's one of the hallmarks, and this is why I'm emphasizing the hallmark of the Holy Spirit. Will unite his people in truth, not out of truth. As we are seeing and hearing today, it's a thing that is bubbling, a groundswell, as it were, that we are seeing in the religious world. Let us unite. Put away those things that are in the Bible that divide us, and let's come together on points that we have in common. That is a false spirit. We are talking here today about hallmarks of the Holy Spirit. Hallmarks. And what he does is to unite us in truth, in the teaching of God's word. He doesn't tell us that we must discard his teachings in order to unite on common points. That's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, tells us that God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This, my brothers and sisters, is the distinguishing feature. The Holy Spirit of God unites in the truth of the Bible, that we will become one in body, one in spirit, one in faith, one in the Lord. Unity without being rooted in the doctrine of the Word of God is a counterfeit false Holy Spirit. And I pray today that as we continue in our journey at looking at the hallmarks of the Holy Spirit, we will truly identify positively his working. That we will know without a shadow of a doubt, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. That we will not mistakenly identify the Holy Spirit's work for that of Satan, or to mistake the work of Satan for that of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God unites in truth. The Holy Spirit doesn't abandon truth or is selective in its truth. It unites. And may we remember this as we course throughout our life's experience, as we walk with the Lord. May his precious word, not some of it, all of it, be our